Hello, Real Ghost Stories Online family. My name is Tony Bruschi. Carol Hughes with us on today's episode as well. This is going to be a bit different of an episode than you're used to hearing of our show. This last week, we learned some very, very sad news about a good friend of our show's, a good friend to many of us, a very good guy, a father, a fiance, a son, a brother. He's a great guy. And you probably know him as Glenn the Security Guard. He was tragically killed last week doing his job for AAA. He was helping to load a vehicle into, helping get a vehicle out of traffic for a customer, and he was struck by another vehicle on the road and lost his life. He's been a listener to our show for many years now and has shared with us some of the most compelling stories that we have had on our show. So today we're going to take a look back at some of the calls from Glenn. Honestly, he's called so many times and has so many stories, I can't air all of them, but I did grab a couple of them to play back as we look back at his life and remember him for his storytelling, his authenticity of just the way that he would tell the experiences that he was going through over those past couple of years. I also want to let you know that there is a GoFundMe page out there to benefit his family, his fiance and his children. And you can find that link up on our website at on Facebook, on our Facebook page for Real Ghost Stories Online, as well as our group page. I'll give you the actual name of the GoFundMe as well here in just a few moments on the show, so you can go and check that out. And if you can, you know, find it in your heart to give, to help Glenn Ewing and his family out. It's hashtag Glenn Ewing Strong. That's Glenn, GlennEwing Strong, all one word. Hashtag Glenn Ewing Strong. Glenn Ewing Family is what you can search on GoFundMe if you want to find that directly. But I said the link is also up on our Facebook pages and other social media as well. Carol Hughes is with us on the program today. And you remember many of Glenn's stories over the years.
Yeah. And when we heard, I was working and someone had posted it on the group page and said, "Is this the Glenn, the security guard?"
Yeah.
And I sent it to you immediately. Like, it was one of those, that can't be real. And when I read the story about it, it just, he was, you know, he was helping somebody. And
yeah,
just, I don't know.
I remember,
it really hit me hard.
And he was so happy to get that job.
I guess
job
it's
too.
Because, too, you know, it's one of those things in life. We all take everything for granted. We all take tomorrow for granted. And, you know, you don't ever appreciate each day like you should. Mm-hmm. And then you hear a story like this and it makes you realize that.
Yeah, I mean,
it can all be over tomorrow for any of us. And that's why I think you and I both donated to the GoFundMe, and a lot of people have donated. But even if it's just $5 or $10, that all adds up, because, you know, right now there's so many things to worry about, and now it's not a two-income family. It's just going to be a one. And, I mean, there's just a lot of expenses, and there's some peace of mind that comes with having a little extra in the bank. So if you can give something. You know, we all appreciated his stories, and he had a lot of them.
Yeah.
And he had some creepy damn stories, and he had a lot of great video content.
Yeah.
And he willingly shared it with everybody. And, you know, I watched, read over this past few days, lots of comments back and forth from listeners. And it was very touching. Mm-hmm. He touched a lot of lives.
I think it's interesting because you don't realize, I think, a lot, and maybe most of us never do get a chance to see it, of, you know, how we impact each other's lives. People talk about those things after the fact.
Right.
And I mean, you see it and it's like, I hope they knew. I hope they knew the impact that they were having on other people, obviously, especially when it's something positive. And I think Glenn's stories, although some of the things he was going through were very stressful and not necessarily the most positive experience for him with some of the haunting stuff that he was experiencing. But I think he made a lot of people feel not alone in the world of these ghostly things and occurrences. And his stories sometimes, and those videos were some of the craziest I've ever seen of what he was capturing in that building he was in. I think it really probably helped a lot of people who've been through some of those more dramatic moments realize, you know, I'm not alone. It's not just footsteps here and there. He saw a lot of stuff and heard a lot of stuff and shared a lot of stuff. And he always did it in such a authentic way. You just knew, like, this guy's just telling his story. And,
right.
And I think he connected with a lot of people that, you know, he'll never have met and never met him. But
People would post, I would see their posts like, hey, I haven't heard anybody or any stories from Glenn, the security guard. Yeah. Has anybody heard anything about him? And so when they wouldn't hear from him for a while in the show, I would see their posts, mm-hmm. you know, because they were connected to him. And yeah. I'm always like, in this world, you want to feel like you left the world with some sort of footprint left in it, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a massively huge footprint, you know, mm-hmm. but you just want to, you know, everyone to know that you were here at some point. And boy, he left a footprint.
He did. And he also, in his job with AAA, I was reading that shortly after he took that job, which was shortly after he left the security job position, there was a shooting that he witnessed, and he went over and saved someone's life by taking off his belt and creating a tourniquet for someone who had been shot and ended up saving their life. And that was like right at the beginning of this job that he has been in. So, I mean, he was a great guy.
And did you see the post? He was from Cincinnati, correct?
Yeah.
And there was a post that tow truck drivers gathered, mm-hmm. and it was a parking lot or something, and they all had their lights on. It was impactful.
Yeah.
It was very powerful to see that.
We have a lot of calls from Glenn. We'll play it for you today and kind of relive some of these stories that he shared with us all the way up until about 2 weeks ago. I have his very last call to us, which he just made. And he'd been listening, but he hadn't called in for a while, but he did give us an update shortly before he lost his life. Let's listen back here. I think he'd appreciate some of our creepy music to be played. And
yes.
And we will go into one of the first call here I have from Glenn. This goes way back. I think even before we knew much about Glenn, this is one of his first calls to the program.
So how you doing, Tony? I tried to call this a couple times. Either had a resident come down and talk to me about something personal or something else. Or something else would happen. About a half an hour ago, I was sitting at my post, and I was watching the cameras while the other guard was going around doing her tour. And it's some, like, the shit that happens here is like some of the craziest shit that you will ever see in your life. Like, I've never seen stuff like this. I don't know, because the building's from 1891, from 1892, and stuff is starting to come out the woodwork because they're doing construction on it and remodeling it. But some of the shit is like, I don't know, some crazy shit that you'll see here. I was just watching the monitors. We have four monitors. They're both 46 inches apiece, and they each on each floor from 11 to the first floor, which is the boiler room, they have about 12 or 13 cameras. The problem is that some of the cameras, they record back in the back in the management building. So some of the stuff we can't see, and then they'll bring to our attention later. But I was watching where the management room was, and there was all of a sudden I seen like a light, like a bright light appear, and all of a sudden little kids started running from that light toward the bathroom, and all of a sudden the bathroom light turns on. I'm like, holy shit. I'm trying to get a hold of my other, patrol officer. I'm like, you need to come down here and see this. And where she was on the fifth floor, so fifth floor being the worst floor that we have here besides the boiler room, the communication started staticking and was breaking up pretty bad. So when she actually got back down here, I was like, you need to see this. And I tried to record it, but since we had that big storm a while back, it knocked our systems out of loop, I guess. We were trying to rewind it, and it wouldn't let us. I was like, you see that bathroom? And she's like, yeah, the light wasn't on. She meant to. I was like, I know. A little girl came, ran through there, and the light was now on. And she's like, this place is screwed up. And I was like, yes. But while she was on her tour on the fifth floor, I didn't tell her that because she's a little smaller than I am, and I'm a big guy. I just didn't want to freak her out. But when she hit the rung on the fifth floor to go down to the stairwell to the fourth floor, something came out of an old washroom, which they keep there. They're trying to remodel it right now. They're gutting it out, and it's where people used to do laundry. Something about 5'5" came out of that room, and it was, I guess, a shadow or something. I don't know. But it looked like it was a human form, but it was like kind of in and out, and it ran down the hall once it got on the corner and went like out of focus and it disappeared. Like, I've tried to call a couple times, and every time I've either called, it was either a resident came down and talked to me or some shit happened on the monitor and I tried to rewind it real quick and then try to watch it. But this is some of the craziest, you know, stuff you'll see. I was talking to a contractor the other day, and he goes, bud, you can't, we're not allowed personally to go down to the fifth floor or down to the boiler room. And he was telling me, he goes, you know, the other day while I was down there, we had a door that we had taken off the hinges. I said, okay. He goes, we stood there for 12 minutes watching this damn thing open and close, open and close. And he goes, it wasn't just a soft open and close either. He goes, this damn thing was slamming shut and then slamming open and slamming closed. He goes, whatever is down there doesn't like us being down there. I said, sounds like it. And he goes, so the other day, they've been putting new copper pipes in, and one of the new copper pipes goes right to where the room that they're using to you know, do all the formats and all that stuff for the floors and stuff. And he said these copper pipes start shaking really bad, and he's like, oh shit, somebody's down there trying to steal copper pipes. So he went down there real quick, and nobody else was there besides him, because the other workers left. As soon as he got down there, nobody was down there. He goes, just about then, something came flying out through the other room and hit him in the back of the, like, right between the shoulder blades. And come to find out, it was like a bolt. And he says, once he got hit with that bolt, he, like, shook it off and then ran back upstairs real quick. And, like, he said he was pretty freaked out about that. He says there's times where he'll go down there in the morning and shift his tools over to the right side and go upstairs real quick, grab his cup of coffee, and then come down there by himself. And he says those whole tool sets, he'll line them up, and then they'll be on the other side of the room or in pieces all out through the bottom floor. But he says he's like, he's freaked out about the stuff. It is, I don't know. Supposedly, a lady went down there with a guy, a gentleman friend, and they did some kind of drug or something. And then the lady was starting to freak out, and she ended up killing the guy. So I don't know if that's true or what, but if so, the dude might be pissed off how he died or what, but a lot of times when you get down to record something or on the phone, and they're like, who's heavy, you know, who's breathing like that really heavy? And they'll tell them, well, nobody's down there with them. And then they'll record it, and you can hear, all you can hear is like a deep, scroggly voice, like breathing really heavy and right behind them. And they said that freaks them out because, again, nobody would be down there with them. So they're going to come back upstairs, like, shaking up about it. And I recorded some on the fifth floor the other day. It sounded just like that because I let the contractor that comes in the morning listen to it. And he goes, man, we get that on the boiler room all the time. And I don't know if it's a voice or what, but when I was walking on the fifth floor and I felt something like come up on me really quick. Like, I don't know if you ever get that feeling like you're there somewhere and you're like, holy shit, something's behind me. So you turn around and look, and usually nothing's usually behind you. But I turned around, and it felt like I was staring at something. Like, it was just like a really bad vibe. So I turned around, and I just felt like I was, again, looking at something. And I went ahead and started, you know, and I was recording at that time. So, like, you know, when I get back down to the floor, I'll rewind it and check it out. When I got down there, I rewinded it. And with a point, I turned around, it saw, like, somebody going, like, really loud. And then I was trying to rewind it and throughout the night, and I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden I'm trying to make, you know, sense of what they're saying, and it sounds like to me it says, run, boy. And as like that, I didn't go back on the fifth floor all night. Like, I won't even go on the fifth floor now, and I'm gonna go do a tour now, so I ain't doing that shit. That's off limits to me. but I'm going to go do another tour. I will try to record and see if I can catch anything else, and I will send it to you guys' page on Facebook. You guys have a good night.
That was one of the very early calls from him. And if I, there's something weird at the end of this call. Hang on. I want to see what this is, because I remember this vaguely. He hung up, and then there's still audio that's kind of playing. Let me see what this is. This was weird. I don't know if we just didn't get the phone hung up, or...
It is creepy.
It is.
Because it's a weird, like, norm. I mean, you could do that, like, maybe you're putting your phone in your pocket might create that kind of sound, but it's kind of weird because you don't normally put your phone in your pocket without hanging up.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been something really simple. It just makes me wonder, because we always, remember we had Richard in Chattanooga that had that weird sound, and it was kind of reminiscent of that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
But
well, especially after the story he just told.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that if you've never heard a Glenn story, that was one of them. And Glenn would call in. It was around the late 2019 or mid 2019 into very early 2020 when he was sharing all these stories. And I'm going to go into our next one here so you can continue hearing the saga that really kind of played out. And of course, you can hear these if you go back in our archive of episodes if you're looking for around those time windows. Late 2019 is about when you'll start hearing some of them. Here's this another call from Glenn.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenn. Man, you won't believe like this stuff that's going on right now. But so I was talking to the ladies in the office the other day because they were like, because they've been hearing that I've been, you know, catching videos of stuff at night and during the day. And they were telling me about, she goes, the main lady that, you know, runs everything. She goes, hon, do you mind if I talk to you real quick? And I was like, yeah, what's wrong? You know, since I'm security, I thought it might have been a security issue. She was talking to me, and she goes, hon, you ain't going to believe this, but I just got a call from the head contractor. And you know how you say you cut, you know, I've seen the video. She goes, I've seen them from everybody, from the owner of the building, from the contractor, from the workers. She goes, so here soon they're supposed to be taking the boiler room out. I said, okay. I said, is there anything that you need us to do when they do that? She goes, no, hon. She goes, here soon they're going to be taking the boiler room out, but there's a problem. They're supposed to be taking the furnace and the boiler out. And I said, okay. I said, do you need me to keep people out or what's going on? She goes, no. She goes, they found human remains in the furnace. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, you heard me right. They found human remains in the furnace. And I was standing there flabbergasted. And I was like, well, shit. You know, well, that might be some of the reasons that it's really as bad as it is down in the boiler room. Because we had contractors get scratches all the time. But, you know, you're thinking of contractors and stuff like, well... You know, they're contractors. They work with heavy stuff. They, you know, tear stuff out. They could get scratched, but they're getting scratches in places that have double lining clothing, or, you know, places that you wouldn't think they would get scratched at. They've been getting scratched on their butt. They're getting scratched on their back. The other day, they were telling me that the owner of the building was down there, and he caught a video of a bucket, a big paint bucket, was moving by itself. And he said, you know, this is cool, and started recording it. And one thing led to another, and the bucket literally flew across the room at him and, like, damn near missed his head by a couple inches. And he said, all right, I'm done here. And he ran back upstairs. I'll let you know what else is going on, but I figured I had to call. But from what I understand, back in the 50s and 60s when the place was still, I'm not trying to be, you know, wrong about it, but it turned from a... back during that time, it was still a Jim Crow era thing, but it used to be a all-white hotel, then it turned into a lower-class, black-owned hotel, and, you know, it's something weird, but apparently the mob that used to live and that used to run Newport, Kentucky, apparently tried to branch out into Ohio and stuff like that. Well, they used to have mob meetings in the ballroom at the place that I work, and they used to do hits there as well. And they didn't really, like, you know, think of them, you know, they didn't really have proof that they were doing hits there. Well, I guess we found the proof the other day, because they're getting ready to just remove the furnace, and they really can't do anything because it's not like a full human remains, but it's like bits and pieces of femurs, you know, arms, ribs and stuff like that. But there's multiple body parts in that furnace. So they're thinking once the mob would do the hit, they would throw them down into the furnace, and it would pretty much cremate them. Well, I guess it did for the most part, but yeah. So we were talking about that, and I said, do you understand, like, once they remove that boiler and that furnace, that the shit around here is going to intensify like a hundredfold. Like, they're getting ready to start pulling the floor up. And that floor has been there since, you know, 1892, since the building originally opened. So it shit's about to get really, really bad there. But I was talking to the contractor the other day, and he was telling me, because I had to go, I found out why they had the rosary beads in the contractor office. Apparently, like, there is a church across the street from where I work at the building, and he went across there to, after stuff started happening, and, you know, stuff started hurting him, that he went across there and talked to a priest, and the priest said, you need this. And he goes, well, what's this? And it was the rosary beads. And he said, apparently he came over there, and, like, as soon as he walked in the building, he was like, I can't do this, and left. So they also had, like, a lady that, you know, I'm not too, like, knowing what they do, but apparently they can sense the dead, or they can, you know, they can tell people, hey, you know, your grandmother says she wants to tell you that she loves you and stuff like that. Well, they had a lady come in and do that to see what was going on with the place. It was one of the manager's cousins or something. She walked in and said, this place is horrible. And the lady's like, yeah, we know, you know, this is been going on. She goes, no, you don't understand. There's so much death here. She goes, so much brutal acts of death. She goes, I can't do this. And she goes, what do you mean you can't do this? She goes, there's at least 50 to 60 people right now in the lobby. She goes, and they're all asking for help. And, like, I'm starting to get scared at this point, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty messed up, because that would explain the feelings that I get of being watched constantly on every floor. The other day, after, you know, they told me this, and they went up on the 11th, I believe. No, the 7th. I do apologize. It's the 7th floor. And that's where I caught the video the other day that I posted to your guys' site about the lady saying, yeah, I am. She goes, you won't believe this. She goes, we were on the 7th floor. And I said, yeah. And she goes, we got the same citrus smell perfume. I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, you finally got the experience. She goes, honey, no. She goes, it just chased us off the floor. I said, what do you mean it chased you off the floor? She goes, we were literally up there, and all of a sudden, a big gust of wind hit us so hard that it damn near knocked us over. I'm like, that's kind of weird, you know, but I was trying to think of maybe it was because of wind from the outside. It was a little windy the other day, but she goes, honey, no. She goes, no. You don't understand. This wind was really bad. She goes, it hit us so hard that we damn near fell over. I said, oh, well, that's kind of crazy. She goes, yeah. She goes, and then we tried to walk down the hall even further, and she goes, all of a sudden, all we could hear was feet coming running at us. And she goes, honey, it was daylight. I can see, we could see in front of us. She goes, nobody was in front of us. So we ran. We took off. She gave me the pamphlet, and, you know, for one of the residents there. So I went up on the 7th floor, put it in the door, and she, you know, I didn't really experience anything. I didn't even smell the perfume, but we get the perfume smell now on the 11th, the 7th, and the 10th. So I don't know if something's moving from between those floors or what, but it's getting really bad there, because, like, the amount of, like, stuff that's happening is starting to intensify. I don't know if it's because they're getting closer to, you know, removing the floor and the boiler or the furnace, but dude, I don't know. Like, I'm close to having, like, have my family priest come in and probably try to bless the place. They've been looking into it, because it's just getting so bad there now that I think I brought some stuff home with me. The other day, or a while back, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, my little daughter was saying that she hasn't seen her friend in forever. And I looked at my girlfriend, I said, what you talking about? She goes, oh, her imaginary friend. I said, okay, that's cool. So we get upstairs and we're getting ready to go to bed, and my girlfriend screams really loud. She goes, damn it, Miracle. And I was like, the hell are you talking about? Miracle's in bed. She goes, babe, you understand. I just saw Miracle on the side of the bed. I said, babe, Miracle wasn't on the side of the bed. I'm looking into the room now. Both of them are asleep. And she goes, oh my God. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, it's a little girl. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a little girl. I'm starting to freak the hell out. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I'm trying to talk to you about it. She goes, babe, there's a little girl on my side of the bed. I'm like, hey, what are you talking? There's no little girl on the side of bed. It was freaking me out so bad that I ended up staying up a couple hours past what I usually do. So I stayed up until about 5 a.m. just to, you know, keep an eye on things and stuff like that. So I'm getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden I see a little girl pop up on my side of bed. I thought it was my oldest daughter. I look again, this girl looked nothing like my daughter. And as soon as she walked by my side of the bed, she disappeared. And that scared the hell out of me, because I was like, all right, I'm done. We have, like, LED lights hung out to the room. I turned them on real quick. I'm like, I'm a big guy, but that scared the hell out of me. And we were, the next day, I got up. And I got into my game chair. And I turned around, and I started getting ready for work and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we have a king size bed. Like, all of a sudden, my pillows are in the middle of the bed. From when they go downstairs in the morning, since I work seconds, I like to sleep in a little bit. And since, I sleep in the middle, all my pillows are being in the middle of the bed. And all of a sudden, I'm in the chair, and the next thing I know, my pillows are pretty heavy. They go flying and hit the wall, side of the wall. And I'm like, holy shit. I get up real quick. I book it downstairs in my uniform, my utility belt, my sidearm, all that stuff. I book it downstairs real quick. And I'm a big dude, but this shit is getting to the point where I can't handle it no more. So I go downstairs real quick. And I'm like trying to shake it off. Like, I don't want them to see me, stressed out over this, because then it's going to start messing with them. And I get downstairs and I ask my daughter, I said, you found your friend lately? She goes, yeah, Dad, she went upstairs to speak with you this morning. I lost my shit. My heart hit the fucking ground. I was like, what? And Becca looked at me and she goes, I told you I saw a little girl last night. Like, it's scaring the hell out of us, like, right now. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about having a family priest come here and bless our house, and then maybe something we can do about that place. But as far as I know, there's nothing we can do about that place, because there's just so much death. There's so much violence that happened in that place. There's so much death. Like, I don't know if it used to be mob owned or, like that. I don't know if there's more bodies, but when they said they first, went through there, they had the blueprints. They were telling us that there was places in the building that literally was not there in the blueprints. It said it was in the blueprints, but it was not there. They were saying extra walls were there. There were doorways that were there that weren't there. They were having, like, there's literally two tunnels underneath the building that no one knew about for the longest period of time. And they've been there since they've, opened the building. It's just stuff is getting to the point where it's like, I don't want it to hurt my family, but I think some stuff did follow me home. I don't know what to do, man. Like, I used to be to the point where I was like, that's cool. You've seen something that you can't explain. You can't pretty much, you cannot literally wrap your mind around it. You're like, oh, that's awesome. And I think that would drew to me, but I kind of regret all that stuff right now, because if I don't want it to hurt my family, because that's the biggest part of me, is just, I'm a family. I can't deal with that stuff anymore, man. Like, I don't know. You literally can't wrap your mind around it, but I don't want something hurting my daughters or my girlfriend. And my girlfriend was telling me the other night, she goes, Glenn, I don't want to alarm you. I said, okay. She goes, there's a guy standing right behind you, and he's about close to 6, maybe 7 foot tall. And I said, Becca, I said, I don't want to hear that. And she goes, baby, I'm being dead serious. I turned around, sure enough, there's a guy standing right behind me, and like, I don't know. This is getting to the point where I'm like, I can't do this shit no more. So I think I'm going to talk to my family priest here soon and see what he can do. But as far as my job, I'm going to do my job until I can and find something else, because I don't want something hurting my family at this point in time. And I don't think, nothing has yet, but I hope nothing does. But, you know, it's just, it's horrible. But I'll let you know, I'll keep you updated, guys, about our work. I know as soon as they pull that furnace, shit's gonna fly. I know it is, because you got that much energy already based in those walls and stuff, and they start, as soon as they start pulling them walls down, that's when stuff started happening really bad. And you're talking about, you know, years and years of, you know, fear, hate inside of something, all that energy inside a furnace. And as soon as they pull that shit, it's going to be the worst shit. I think there's going to be some bad stuff happening here soon from that furnace. Like, as soon as they move it, they're going to be doing it here eventually, I think in the next 2 months. But I don't know. It's getting to the point where I'm just like, all right, I'm done. I can't do this no more. I'm done. But you guys have a good one. Bye.
Breaks your heart because you hear the story, then talking about his kids and his daughters, and obviously, you know, they just lost their dad.
You know, though, as I was listening to that, and he just kept talking about how he didn't want anything bad to happen to his family, mm-hmm. and nothing, you know, I just feel like now, I don't know, maybe it's because when I lost my dad, I felt him around me so strongly. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, you know, those, his family, they're going to be watched over,
yeah.
you know, so strongly that, you know, I don't, you know, call it what you want, a guardian angel or whatever, mm-hmm. but I think, you know, he will always protect them. I really do.
I think Glenn's getting to learn what it's like much sooner than all of us, as far as what it is like over there. And
that's some creepy ass shit. He was like,
yeah.
At one point, I listened to that. I'm like, I will never sleep tonight.
Yeah. That way, I mean, in the stories, he had several more from there. And I have another one here that we'll go to. And he'd update us about once a week or so for a couple months on all the happenings, and it just kept getting crazier and crazier. And crazier. Here's another one of his calls. And by the way, if you can, please do go to that GoFundMe page and help out his family, help out his little girls. You can find the link on our Facebook page, or if you go to GoFundMe, you can search it there. It's hashtag Glenn Ewing Strong. That's GlennEwing Strong. The Glenn Ewing family, where you can donate there and help out those kids. And like I said, the link also on our social media, on Facebook. Here's another call from Glenn.
All right, so this shit's crazy. So yesterday I was in the office with two of the ladies that are in there, and we were having a conversation about ghosts, and one of the main lady in there was like, hey, show her the videos you have of this place. I was like, okay, it's fine. The girl was pretty much in awe the whole damn time I was showing her the videos and the photos I had of, like, the figures and stuff like that. The one that really scared her was the one where the hallway gets really dark and then the shadow walks from right to left. And she goes, where was it taken? And I was like, you know, I think on the, I couldn't remember. It's been a while since, you know, I took it. I said, I know that it was almost at 2 o'clock in the morning. So while we're sitting there talking about this stuff, she goes, we should do a ghost tour. I was like, I'm good. You know, I've already had my fair share of seeing shit, so I didn't want to see anything else. She's like, come on. You know, and then after calling me a pussy a couple times, I was like, all right, that's fine. I'll go with you guys, but I'm not going down to the boiler room with you guys. So we hit me up with the head contractor. He's like, yeah, you guys want to go down there and see this stuff? He's like, they do. I do not. She's like, he's going to come with us. Don't worry about that. All right, whatever. So we end up going, we left the office about 5:21, and we start walking down the bottom layer of, you know, the apartment complex. So we get down there. He's like, all right, so I'm gonna take you to this room real quick and all this other stuff. And they were talking about, well, where's the room where the dead bodies were, you know, or the bodies were burned. He's like, oh, this room right here. And you can actually see scorch marks going up. I took a video, but due to personal reasons and not getting sued, I don't want to show it because it has pretty much the contractor in it, the two ladies in the office. But I'm gonna try to go back down there with somebody eventually and try to take more pictures instead of the video. He took us into the incinerator room. He took us where they used to burn the old coal at. He even took us into the wine room, which was pretty scary because I've heard a lot of stories come out of that room and even where they burned the old coal. So we get done and we start walking around, and the first room we go into is the room to the left of the damn boiler room. And I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to stay right here. I'll be here if you need me. And the lady looked at me and said, Glenn, don't be a pussy. Come on. Fine. So I didn't get roped into that shit. So we go in there. The contractor's the first person in the room, and then the two ladies followed, and then I followed the after. And we get into the room, and it's instantly cold. Like, it's cold, cold. And it can smell, like, the musty air and stuff like that. And the contractor ended up telling us the story about when he first came into the room. He goes, it was pitch dark down here. Is there was no lights before, you know, we came in here and started putting the lights up. Is when we went in here, he goes, we instantly started getting shit. He goes, the first time I came in here, I am getting scratched, and I ended up recording with my video camera while I'm doing my first initial walk through the place. And he goes, we get heavy breathing throughout the whole damn place. It was kind of weird. And then I'm in there taking a video. I didn't see too much. It was dusty. It looked like a bunch of orbs, but it was just dust. You know, the place hasn't been messed with in forever. And he starts walking out, and he goes, did you know Al Capone used to meet here? And we were like, no, that's pretty cool. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. The mobster families. He goes, the stories that you hear about the mobsters, they're real. He goes, we looked into this shit. He goes, during the mobster era, he goes, the mobster families would meet from either New York or Midwest or wherever, and they would come here, and they would meet at this place. And they would have their family meetings. He goes, now, I can tell you that there has been, from what I understand from a bunch of old mobsters, from their grandfathers and stuff, they used to kill people there. He goes, I'm not going to say it's true or not, but from what they're telling me, he goes, yeah, there has been people that have been killed here. And the lady said, well, what did they do with the bodies? He goes, they fucking burned them in the incinerator. He goes, we cleaned it out. There was bones in there. He goes, there was animal bones, there was human bones, he goes, there was dog bones, there was bat bones, cat bones, like, whatever they, you know, felt like this, I guess, incinerating, they threw in the damn incinerator. He goes, but most of the stuff was found underneath it, so I guess when whatever didn't burn, or was too small burned, it fell through the cracks and landed underneath the incinerator when they pulled it out. He goes, but I can tell you that the mob was here during the heyday of the mobster era. He goes, Al Capone had a bar a little bit far from here, about, I say, 15 miles from here, and he had they called it the Al Capone Suite, because Al Capone would do it. When he came to town, he would stay at there. When he wouldn't go to a meeting, they would meet in the ballroom, and they would conduct business there. So I'm like, okay, that's not really good, because now we're dealing with shit, dealing with the mobsters and stuff like that. And I kind of figured that there was, you know, stuff that dealt with the mobsters, you know, stuff that went on there. But, you know, just to actually hear that, yeah, you know, Al Capone was here, that's fucking crazy. Because you always hear stuff about how ruthless he was, but, you know, and now we probably understand what happened to some of the people that crossed them went in the damn incinerator. So we keep walking through this building, you know, in the bottom of the building. He walks us through the old wine room, and the old wine racks, they'll stand there. Some of them have collapsed because they're dry rotted really bad, but some that are actually been, you know, a dry spot have actually lasted this long. So we're in there, and it just, the smell, as soon as you walk in the room, is horrific. Like, I can't explain it, but I just really can't explain it. But it was like, it hits you. It felt like it punched you in your throat. And we're in there, and one of the ladies goes, "Did you just touch me?" And I said, "No," because I was right behind her. And then, you know, the other office lady and then the contractor were in front of her. I was standing right there. I was like, "Ma'am, I didn't touch you." She goes, "Somebody's touched my fucking leg." I said, "Ma'am, I didn't touch you. I promise." The whole time taking a video, she goes, "Somebody fucking touched me," and she starts freaking out. So she starts, you know, going out in the hallway, shaking like it felt like somebody was touching her. She kept fucking smacking her leg really hard. Like, you could hear the smack throughout the whole basement. That's how hard she was hitting herself, because she thought it was a bug or somebody actually touching her. Finally, got to the point where she's like, "I can't do this no more. I can't do this no more," and starts walking out. So the contractor's like, "All right, you know, maybe it's time to get." I start heading back up. So we went back to there, and we seen where the old pool stuff was, and where they ended up breaking up where the underground tunnel was, and it still had the old door on the old sliding door, and it had some. It was like really nostalgia kind of stuff. Like, if I could take the door, I would actually would, because it was just like some, like, you know, like the original 20s and 30s lettering and stuff on it. It was pretty cool. I thought it was neat. But he starts walking. He goes, "This is where the tunnel is." He goes, "It's been bricked off." He goes, "Nobody goes in there. Nobody's allowed to go in there." He goes, "Whatever the fuck is in there is evil." And we just looked at each other like, "Okay, we take your word for it, dude. Don't open it up." He goes, "I'm not." He started walking out. And then we get halfway out there, and he goes, "Now, I can tell you, my first time down here, I heard a little girl sing." And he goes, me being the contractor, I was worried about her, you know, her safety. And I'm like, "Hey, you know, whoever's down here, you cannot be down here, because this is, you know, it's cordoned off and it's dangerous. Anything can hurt you." And he kept hearing the little girl sing and sing and sing. So he started following where the little girl sang, and it was leading it to the boiler room in that one damn room where they burn the old coal. He walks in there, no little girl's in there. He said, "Okay, it wasn't a little girl." And starts getting the hell out of there. But, yeah, it's been, like, it was pretty insane. And I've never been down to some of those parts. It had the original, some of the original stuff that was still connected down there, but you couldn't access it. So it was pretty neat. Like, I've never been down that far, but what I got to know by myself, fuck no. That's some creepy-ass shit just to smell the place. But while we were walking up, the two office ladies says, "Where's the one room where we had the, you know, like we were feeling like we were being smothered?" He's like, "You mean the old ice cooler?" He's like, she's like, "Yes, that. He's like, "All right, this way." And he takes us over to the left, and the one girl's still freaking the fuck out because she's swerving down that somebody was touching her or rubbing her leg. And I said, "All right, I'll stay with her, you know, if you want to walk." She's like, "Yeah, I'll walk." But that was, she was like, "That's fucked up." She goes, "I've never been touched like that." And we start walking up, and I said, "Well, I'm behind you. You know, if anything, you let me know, and we'll go upstairs, and we'll try to get Tommy down." She said, "Okay." So we're walking through there, and we get to it, and she goes, "Glenn, this right here." And I said, "Yeah, you know, the old ice maker, the old fridge." And she's like, "Yeah." She goes, "Me and the lady, the other girl we were walking with, she goes, we went in there the other day." And she goes, "Glenn, I swear to you, I can't make this up." And she goes, "As soon as we walked into it, it literally felt like an elephant was on our chest. We couldn't breathe. It felt like we were being choked out." I said, "Well, it's kind of funny since, you know, the people were burned in there. Maybe they're experiencing the same thing, or they experienced the same thing that those people were experiencing when they were being burned alive. You know, the smoke inhalation and all that stuff." She goes, it lasted for a good 5 minutes. We literally had to get out of it, but it was horrible because we felt like we couldn't breathe, and it felt like somebody was standing on our chest. Like, we kept coughing, and I'm like, "Well, probably the same thing that those people experienced when they were dying." And she's like, "You know what? That does make sense." She goes, "Because it felt like we were breathing in a shit ton of smoke." I said, "Well, that's probably what happened. You were experiencing what they experienced." I said, "Some people are, like, you know, really touchy on stuff like that, and if you're lucky, I guess, if you want to call it being lucky, sometimes you experience the same thing that the person experienced when they were dying." But it was fucking insane, like, to see all that stuff down there, the old wine rack, you know, the old tunnel, the old doors and stuff like that. But I think the one thing that freaked me out more than anything was going inside that boiler room, because I've heard so many stories of people being hit, you know, scratched, tossed up against the wall and stuff like that. But with the lights on, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty neat, like, to see all the old, you know, coal burners and stuff like that. He was showing us where they would take the coal out, shovel it. There used to be a train track down there, not like an actual train track, but like a trolley track. And they would bring food in from like a mile away on this little trolley, and it would come through the tunnels, and it would stop down the basement. And then when they would unload it, they'd either take it to the freezer or straight to the...
And that's where that one cut out there. But it was such an interesting call from him. I wanted to play that one back.
He had some really good stories.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that one, like, all that stuff going in depth into the mob and, like, even that trolley thing, that's mm-hmm. all shit they did.
Yeah.
You know, so it really painted the story
mm-hmm.
of that place. And people, I don't know if they're braver or crazier than me, because I can't, there's a fine line between being really brave and being really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
To actually go down someplace like that. I don't think I could.
I would do it with lights.
I know I couldn't.
I would do it with the lights on and all that, but I don't think I could do the job he was doing of having to go down there like as a security guard. I mean, I would do it like how he just did it there, like with the contractor and the group of people. Yeah. But by myself at night when you're getting some sort of alert that there's something going on, I don't know how he did it. I mean, I don't. This is the last call that we received from Glenn here, and we'll wrap up after this. This is a call we got just a couple weeks ago here on the program, and is his final update to us here on the show.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenn from Kentucky. I moved. I tried to distance myself a little bit more from what was going on. There's a couple of reasons I wanted to call today, you know, just see how you guys are doing. And, well, the other morning I end up getting up at work for about, I usually set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning, and I usually get up and get ready and stuff. Well, the other day kind of freaked me out because I went in to get a shower, came back out, and when I was standing in the hallway getting my shoes on, my daughters were having, at the same time, a nightmare. And it freaked me out because they were in there talking about, leave me alone, I don't want to talk to you right now, I'm trying to sleep. And then they started both crying, and I walked in there, got my girlfriend up, said, hey, you need to come see this real quick. She came in there, and she started freaking out as well. So one thing I can think of is I ran to my junk drawer in my apartment, grabbed out some sage, and started burning it while I'm praying, going to their room. And it took about, I'd say, 5-10 minutes. I ended up going through almost the whole house praying and stuff like that. And then finally, you know, they stopped crying and made sure they were okay before I started to go ahead and start to leave. But I ended up getting some bad news about the old place I was working at. One of the guys and his wife I used to speak with a lot, you know, we became somewhat friends there. But I understand I still had a job to do, so I tried to keep my job, you know, split from a friendship for most of the people there, because that place is crazy. So it could be your friend one minute and your enemy the next. And if you got too close, it could be your worst enemy. So I tried to, you know, split that up and try to keep it, you know, best equal on both sides. I found out that the guy I was talking about, he ended up going through a really bad fight with his girlfriend, or my apologies, his wife. He ended up killing her, and it kind of hit me pretty hard because, you know, I was somewhat friends with them, and I tried to stay friends with them when I left. They're really good people, and when he was leaving, he ended up going to Chicago, ended up killing two other people on his way through Cincinnati to get to Chicago, and I think he's still going to plead insanity because he said he has no recollection of what he did. And it's kind of weird because a lot of people there at that place are really nice people, and it just out of time, there's just they go from the nicest people you ever met you meet in your life to some of the worst people you ever meet in your life. I don't know if it's because the energy of that place or what, but there is times I've had to take people out of the property. And once then they're like, you know, they're out of it. And then they come to, they're like, hey man, I don't know what happened to me. I want to apologize. And, you know.
Yeah, and it is what it is at that point, time point. there is two other people I tried to keep in contact with with at that building. One was an older lady. And he was in charge of like management or something there of everybody at the building, and she would speak with management of the building. And she's been telling me that it's starting to calm down. There is points in time where stuff would get a little too out of hand. We spoke the other day on the phone, I think after my shift, and she told me, she goes, honey, there's still times when security get called to a vacant apartment building and go in there because they're complaining of fighting and things being thrown around and stuff like that. Well, when they get there, and if you get the keys from maintenance to go in, you know, they'll give the same thing, security coming in, you know, that kind of bullshit. They go in there and nobody's in there, not a damn thing is inside that building or that unit. There's no carpet, there's nothing. It's literally empty. And nothing will be messed with. There'll be a light on, but that's about it. And it's insane that some of this shit still happens there, because there are some times where I end up having a nightmare about that place, and you know, it fucks with me. But that place is something else on its own level. But there's another older lady there that I speak with, and I try to contact with her as well. She says she's a medium, but me and her and a bunch of other guards and stuff used to mess with office personnel, because she would go up to the management, used to tell them stuff that only certain relatives and her would know. And we would laugh, because some of the stuff is pretty hilarious. There are some times where she would, you know, tell some stuff she probably shouldn't say, and then they'd start crying or something like that. But she told me that she's been trying to help as many people as she can in the past. I do remember the conversation me and you had a while back about that, about as many people there from over the years. And she says there's just too many people to help. Some of them are destined for other places, or there's people that will stay there, die somewhere else, and come right back there. And she goes, the problem is she's trying to close that port, but she says, as soon as she does, she says something along the lines of something else will open up or something. So I don't know what the hell's going on with that, but she's also a very nice lady. I had an issue a while back with my aunt passing too soon, and she came up to me and she goes, I understand what happened. Before I even said anything, I was pretty upset about it still, because it just happened out of the blue. And I have had incidents where, you know, I'll be listening to the radio or something, and my aunt used to call me a couple nicknames, one of them being Ammo or Amtrak, because I was a big kid, so, you know. But I was on the phone one time, and I was talking to my girlfriend, and I could hear it clear as a bell. I said, hey, Ammo, and I said, what the fuck? And it scared me, so I hung up. And my girlfriend's mom was sitting next to me. She goes, why'd you do that? I said, did you hear that? She goes, yeah, who the hell is Ammo? I said, me. She goes, well, how's your nickname Ammo? I said, well, when I was younger, my Aunt Lisa used to call me Ammo, because when I was littler, I used to have a really bad anger issue, so it kind of messed with me. So, but she knew about all that stuff. She said, well, she wants to know, she let you know that she's okay, and she understands you're still upset, but you've got to stop and stuff like that. And so from then on, I've been, you know, I try to keep up with her and stuff. But she says that place is just, there's some parts where it's just evil. There's nothing else but just evil. And there's some good spirits there that try to balance it out, but it's like a losing battle for them. So
don't know. I try to keep my distance away from that place, so I moved a state over just to stay the hell away from that place as best I can. And since the new restrictions from what we're driving, the only thing we're allowed to do over in that area now where that place is drop off a vehicle. So if I have to come close to it, I still get the vibe from it. But I try to drop off as quickly as possible and get the hell out of there. But anything other than that, it's just, that place is just, I don't know, I think this is just tell everybody leave and blow that place down. But I don't understand, how a building that, I guess it's like a medium-sized building, could hold that much shit from it from years and years. I mean, I think it's probably just best to be blown up and leveled. I do try to keep up with your guys' stories online. I do drive a lot, and there's a lot of miles into driving what I do. So I do listen to you guys a lot. I do hope the best for you guys and you, Tony, and your fans and all that stuff. I hope the best for you guys, and I will continue to listen to you guys. You guys have a good one, and that's it.
Thank you, Glenn.
Dang, that made me all emotional. That was a very profound way to end.
Yeah.
Very touching.
He was just such an authentic guy.
Yeah. And could scare the shit out of people with those stories.
Yes, he could.
Dang. And hearing them like that back to back to back to back, because you and I have talked before off the air, sometimes off when air recording, whatever, mm-hmm. that some stories, the way people tell them, they pull you in and they're like, you're feeling that feeling.
Yeah.
And he, the way he told the stories, you felt it. Like you really did.
He puts you right there. And
right.
I always appreciated his liberal use of swear words as well. Because it's a lot like mine.
Because you, I was going to say.
I'm just like, yeah, I get it. But it's how he speaks and how he expressed himself. And it was just him. And it's just him being honest with what's going on and kind of rolling his eyes at some stuff as he's talking. Like, you can't believe half the shit he's saying is, real, but he's living it. And
then the story before that one about the whole mobster thing.
Yeah.
He was totally into it though too, the history of the building.
Yeah.
Like he was quite fascinated by it.
Yeah. Well, how could you not be? I mean,
right?
That it's a very interesting and just a profound end to his contributing to our show there with that final call.
So for all those people who had posted, I'm not familiar with him, mm-hmm. or because there was people wondering who he was.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, and if everyone who listened even donated a buck,
yeah,
that's a lot of money.
It is. It would be a lot, and it would totally help his family. He's got the little kids. He's got a fiance. And if you could help with that, it's on GoFundMe. We have the link up on our Facebook page. The Glenn Ewing family. Is what you'd search there, GLENNEWING family. And I believe it's under the hashtag Glenn Ewing Strong, GLENNEWING, Ewing Strong. And you can find that up at GoFundMe. And you guys, if you've already donated, because I posted the link out onto social media the same afternoon that I found out about Glenn's passing. Last week, and I
was very skeptical. Oh. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah. I mean, I was blown away at the support that you guys gave. If you've already given, thank you so much. If this is just the first time you're hearing about it, because maybe you don't follow us on social media or anything like that, they really could use your help. And got this small family that just lost their dad. And obviously you've heard from the calls, He was a family man. He loved his kids more than anything. And I know he's going to be there in a different way now, but it's going to leave a hole.
I truly believe that.
Yeah. But if you can, please do help. That link for the GoFundMe is up on our Facebook page. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online on Facebook, and you'll find the link right there. That is going to wrap up our look back at Glenn, the security guard, Ewing, and his many, many amazing calls to us. If you, like I said, go back in the archive if you'd like to hear more of them. They're around the 2019 area, kind of just spread throughout because he called in quite a bit. And maybe in fall, I'll do another look back at Glenn's calls and maybe run with some of the other ones too, because they were so good, closer to Halloween, because these are Halloween worthy stories. And I think it'd be fun to have Glenn with us for another Halloween to share some of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that coming up in fall too. All right. Thank you guys for listening to our program. Thanks for helping to keep us on the air. Please go and check out that GoFundMe page. The link is on our Facebook page at Real Ghost Stories Online. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you, Glenn.